Now, each of the Lord Jesus Christ's miracles, there is a particular aspect of salvation and spiritual truth represented. We could think of the healing of the blind. And there we have that spiritual truth that the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives spiritual sight to those who are in spiritual darkness. We can think of when the Lord Jesus Christ made the lame to walk. And what's the spiritual truth that is illustrated there? Well, the truth is that He grants strength unto those who are without strength. And here in this miracle of the cleansing and the healing of the leper, we have revealed to us by illustration, again, spiritual truths that the Lord Jesus Christ does for the repentant sinner. Now, leprosy was the scourge of the ancient world. And nothing evoked more fear or more anxiety or dread or revulsion in the sight of one of these walking dead. Leprosy, it generally began with a pain in a certain area in the body. And then that area would become numb and the skin would soon become thick and glossy and scaly as the blood supply to that area would stop. Then it would become a sore, continuing into an ulcer, and then the stench of rotting flesh would come from the one smitten with leprosy. Fingers and toes would begin to drop off, and sense and feeling would depart from that individual. In the Old Testament, God said that lepers were to be quarantined. They were to be separated. They were to be carefully examined. And as horrible as the physical suffering was of the leper, even more so was the burden that they had to bear psychologically by the way that they were treated. They were outcasts, put out from their home, put out from their community. They had to live away. They had to dress like those who were in mourning because I said they were considered the living dead. They had to warn people about their approach, crying out, unclean, unclean. And this really wasn't because leprosy was contagious. It was because of the fact that Jesus or the Lord used this disease to present certain truths about sin. See, leprosy is a graphic physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin. And sin is ugly. It is loathsome. And humanly, it's incurable. It separates man from God. And it makes us outcasts. Now, the instructions that were given to the priests in Leviticus chapter 13 concerning leprosy present to us some spiritual truths, some illustrations of what sin really is. And there we read that leprosy, it starts off unseen. It's under the skin. And so too, sin is in the heart. Sin necessarily is not just deeds. It is a disposition of the heart. It is a state. See, if you're unsaved in the meeting tonight, you maybe consider sin to be the things that you do or do not do. You compare yourself to someone else and you think, well, I don't do what they do, and therefore you consider yourself not to be a sinner. But sin is a disposition of the heart. It is a spiritual state. And if you're not saved, if you're not in Jesus Christ tonight, even though people can't see outward sinful deeds in your life, you are still in your sin. Something else about leprosy. It was progressive. And the nature of sin too, it is progressive. No one can stand morally still. We see this in children. The first outbreak of that spiritual defilement of leprosy in a child, it's a little speck of disrespect, a little spot of rebellion, or a childish outburst. And there it is, but soon it begins to grow and manifest within everyone's life. The poet William Wordsworth, he put it like this: shades of the prison house begin to break upon the growing child. Something else about leprosy causes separation. And sin separates a man from God. Sin keeps an individual out of a holy heaven. Leviticus 13, we're also told that the garments of lepers were to be burned in the fire. And those that die in their sin, clothed in their sin, they will burn in the lake of fire. We read in Scripture that leprosy was hereditary. You say, is that true? Well, we can glean that from the account of Gehazi, the servant of Elijah or Elisha. You see, the curse was laid upon him, and this is what was said: the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And also David, he cursed the house of Joab, and he said, let there not one feel of the house of Joab, one with an issue, or that is a leper. And there we see that leprosy runs in the family. And so too sin is hereditary. And everyone in the gallery this evening, we have inherited sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve. In fact, the Scripture declares that in Adam we all sinned. We are all guilty of that first transgression in the Garden of Eden. So everyone in here, in the eyes of God, is guilty of that first and original sin. This is a state that you and I were all born into. We're all defiled, we're all contaminated with the leprosy of sin. But tonight I want to think about this account that we have read. I want to simply think about this account under the heading, the healing of the leper. Nothing fancy, just the healing of the leper. Now, what's the first thing I want to notice from this account? It's in verse 40. And I want to think about the request of the leper. The leper's request. Verse 40. Let's read together. And there came a leper to him, that is Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see, the news of this miracle worker from Nazareth had reached the ears of this individual. The news of what Christ was doing in that land had spread far and wide until it reached the very outcast and dregs of Jewish society. This man, he thought about the mighty works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he sat there and thought about the works of Christ, he came to this conclusion. This was the only question that was left in this man's mind. Is Christ willing to heal me? Is he willing to heal me? As to the Savior's power, this man had no doubt. And so as he sat there, he must have thought to himself, is this miracle worker from Nazareth, is he willing to heal me? This man knew where to go to find a remedy for his disease. And one man has said, it is halfway to the remedy to know where it lies. And this man was not proud. He was not ashamed to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's maybe many in this gathering or some in this gathering. And you know where the cure to the disease of sin is to be found. It's in Jesus Christ. And you know that if you would come to Him in repentance and faith, He will make you whole, He will cleanse you, He will heal you, He will forgive you. And yet because of pride, because of indifference, maybe you're embarrassed, maybe you're ashamed, you still have not come personally to Jesus Christ. Well, this man did come to make his request. You read in Luke's gospel that he was full of leprosy. The disease was in the advanced stages of life. His whole life was rotting. This man was under the sentence of death. You see, he had nothing to lose. He was a dead man walking. Can I say to you tonight, sinner, you are a dead man or woman or young person walking. The sentence of death is upon you because of your sin. Because of the first sin in the garden, death has passed upon all men. And you have absolutely nothing to lose in coming to Jesus Christ. Death is upon you. Now I know that all men, even the believer, must die. Physically die. But those that are unsaved in the gathering tonight, you are spiritually dead. And if you continue in that state of spiritual deadness, you will go out into eternal death. And so, just like this leper who was the walking dead tonight, death and condemnation is upon you. It's not so much that you're heading out to it, but it already resides upon you. But this leper, as he comes to make his request, we see that he knew what he needed from Jesus Christ. He knew that he needed more than just healing. He needed cleansing. Because this is what he said. He said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He was defiled. This man felt and knew his uncleanness. The stench probably rose up into his nostrils every morning he rose. I used to live on a farm. And I'll tell you, there was nothing that was worse in your nostrils than the stench of an ulcer on the hoof of a cow. It was putrid. And it made you gag and had that reflex. It made you sick. And this man, here he was, and he knew that he was defiled. He knew that he was unclean. And he needed cleansing from Jesus Christ. Can I say to you tonight, sinner, no matter what you think you might need from Christ, your greatest need is cleansing. And I want to say this, you do not come to Jesus Christ because you have some issue in your life, some problem, some difficulty. You do not come to Jesus Christ as a social worker. You come to Jesus Christ as a Savior because you need cleansing. And the Scripture tells me that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In this man's request, there was reverence and humility. When you read the parallel account in Matthew's Gospel, we read there that he worshipped Him. And the word worship, he worshipped the Savior, it means to kiss the hand of one as a mark of homage and respect. We read here in Mark that he fell down, and we read in Luke that he fell on his face, and he was a man and he acknowledged his own inferiority. He knew that he was nothing before this man, Jesus Christ. He was reverent as he came to the Savior and acknowledged his authority. But he also came not only in reverence and humility, he came in faith. And that's what the language implies. He says, "Thou canst make me clean." See, his faith was in accordance of what he had heard about Jesus Christ. He had heard the reports of what Christ was doing. And so his faith was in accordance with what he had heard. If thou wilt, thou canst. See, he never said to the Savior, "If thou canst, thou wilt." He had no doubt to the Savior's ability. And sinner, I tell you tonight, Christ is all power. And he has the ability to cleanse you from your sin. He has the ability to make you spiritually whole. See, sometimes there's an individual and they're maybe in great debt. And they have, as it were, a friend who is rich, who has the ability, but they are not willing to meet their friend's debt. And that person in debt, they have another friend and they're not as rich, they are poor, but they are willing to help, but they don't have the ability. And so the one that is in debts is left there. They have a rich friend who's not willing. They have a poor friend that's not able. But in Jesus Christ, you have one who is both able and willing to save. And you should understand that tonight, sinner. Christ is willing to save you. Christ is able to save you tonight. This leper was reverent in his request, and he came in faith, but he also came earnestly. It tells us here he beseeched the Savior. He besought him. He pleaded with him. He was one who he came to the feet of Jesus Christ, and he said, "Here is my only hope. Here I live, or here I die." And I urge you tonight to seek Christ earnestly, to do as this leper did, and to make request of Jesus Christ. If thou wilt, thou canst. See the leper's request, but secondly, I want us to notice the Savior's response. Look at verse 41. "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. And this little detail is added here by Mark. See, Christ's power is motivated by his compassion and pity to rescue poor, perishing sinners. As Christ looks upon this congregation tonight, and he sees those who are still in their sin, he looks in pity and he looks in compassion. He was moved with compassion. In the Old Testament, we read of the Lord Jehovah as one who in all their afflictions was afflicted. And here in the New Testament, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ as being moved with compassion. And truly, the words of Jesus Christ ring true. "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And so as we read about Christ having compassion, we understand that the Father too has compassion for the sinner. And some people want to think of God the Father as the stern and the righteous and the wrathful judge. But the Father loves sinners. That's why he sent his Son. And Christ here was moved with compassion. And the Savior's reason for healing this man was fetched within himself. It was out of a heart of love that Christ healed this man. See, we have nothing to recommend us to God. Nothing to put us into God's favor. Our misery makes us candidates for God's mercy. See, the leper, he recognized this. He recognized that the motive for healing him was only found in the Savior and not in himself. "Lord, if thou wilt." He was submissive. He fell on the mercy of the Lord. There was no bargaining. There was no coming to the Lord and boasting of self or any worth. He didn't come and say, "You know, Lord, if thou wilt, I will, you know what I'll do? I'll live for you. I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. I have done this. I have done that. It's not my fault I have this leprosy." But this man came and he realized that the motivation for Christ to heal him came solely within and from the Lord. I tell you tonight, sinner, there is no other reason outside the free and sovereign grace of God that he saves sinners. That's what the Bible says. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because of A, B, C, or D. Because you did do this, you would do this. The Lord did not set his love upon you because of this." But why? Because he loved you. And how wonderful is that? The grounds for our spiritual cleansing and healing is not within ourselves, it's in the Lord. I wonder if you come to that conclusion. You're still boasting in your self-righteousness, your church attendance, your good deeds, whatever it might be. You need to come to this realization that the only thing you and I deserve as sinners is justice. That's what we deserve. That's what you deserve. And what is justice? It's punishment. It's condemnation. It's hell. It's the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. Because God is a just and a righteous God. But in His mercy, He sent His Son. What else did the Savior do? Not only was He moved with compassion in His response, but look at verse 41 that tells us that He put forth His hand and touched him. And why was the touch so important? Well, people were forbidden to touch this man on the account of his leprosy. This was against Jewish ceremonial law. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He put forth His hand and He touched him. Now you might say, did Christ break the ceremonial law? Well, we read in Matthew 5, verse 17, that He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So what happened when Christ touched that man? When Christ touched him, he was no longer a leper. Immediately, that man was cleansed. And Christ did not break the law. For as soon as Christ touched him, that man was no longer a leper. And you see, that man's uncleanness could not be communicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I were living in Israel in those days, and if we touched that leper, we would become defiled. We would be unclean. We couldn't approach into the temple. But Jesus Christ, because He is the Son of God, and He is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, could not become unclean. And at the cross, when our sin and our iniquity was laid on Jesus Christ, He did not become morally defiled or spiritually unclean. So what does it mean when our sins was laid on Jesus Christ? Well, it means that the legal obligation of our sins' punishment was laid on Christ. Not our actual sins, but the legal obligation for our sin to be punished. And Christ, when it says in 1 Peter that our sins, He bore them to the tree on His own body. Or we think of Isaiah 53 when it speaks about God laying on Him the iniquity of us all. Christ still remained morally, spiritually clean, never contaminated with sin. He is the sinless one. And He is the one that bare our sin to the tree. The Savior, in His response, not only touches, but He speaks. And He answers with these words, "If thou wilt." He answers to that question, that query, "I will. I will." The willingness of Jesus Christ. And immediately, in verse 42, "And immediately the leprosy departed from him." Christ healed that leper, not by a natural cause or by natural means, but by a divine power that worked instantaneously. And sinner, tonight, if you come to Jesus Christ, it's not that you'll be gradually justified and become gradually right before God, but immediately your sin is removed and you're made whole. The hymn writer said, "He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul." Something wonderful happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. I'll ask you tonight, has Christ spiritually touched you? Are you whole? Are you complete? Are you healed from the defilement of your sin? Christ said to this man, I will. You've thought about the leper's request and the Savior's response, but in the last place, I want to think about the wise requirements. The wise requirements. The Savior in verses 43 and 44 placed upon this man some requirements. The Greek construction of verse 43 indicates that this was a strong command of Christ. You see, special experiences of divine grace, they do not free us as children of God from the obligation to keep the law. See, we are not antinomianists. We don't believe once we're saved we are without the law. But the child of God, when they are saved, they are to keep the moral law. And here was an instance of this man commanded, after he was healed, to keep the commands of Jesus Christ. And so us that are saved, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, is not set aside, but it becomes our way of life, our practice, how we should and ought to live. See, the Lord Jesus Christ here did not set aside this man's obligation to keep the commands. Verse 44, what was required of this man? Let's read it. And Christ and Jesus saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. This man was told to do two things. Say nothing to any man. And go to the priest and offer the things for a testimony. Now, why did the Savior tell this man to keep quiet? Not to tell anyone. Surely it is from the pulpit when you're to get saved, you're to noise it abroad and to tell it around. But why in this instant did the Lord Jesus Christ tell this man to say nothing to anyone? Well, there was two aspects. And the first aspect was for Christ's benefit. See, Christ did not want a crowd of wonder seekers to clamor around him just looking for a sign. He wanted penitents to come and to listen to his message. Unfortunately today, there's people and they're clamoring for a sign. And that's why we see all these modern churches springing up and so quickly filling in. They want the sign. They don't want the message. And Christ did not want the people aroused. He did not want the suspicion of his enemies to be, as it were, stirred up, awaking their premature violence because his hour had not yet come. So this man was to stay quiet for Christ's benefit. But he was also to stay quiet for his own benefit. See, this man would have been spiritually better off. He would have been strengthened in his own soul if he had just quietly contemplated what Christ had done for him and what would happen at the temple. This man would be strengthened within his own soul. See, he was a new believer, a young convert. And if he would begin to speak and noise abroad what had happened to him, people would begin to question him. People would begin to probe him and get into what he believes and what he thinks. And as a young convert, he mightn't have all the answers and he'd begin to doubt. And so the Lord told them, just be quiet. Just contemplate what's happened to you. Some advice for a young convert. I was told this one time, for someone that's new in the faith, go slow, don't blow, and keep low. Just go slow. Just be steady. Keep coming to God's house. Don't blow. Don't get puffed up. Don't get elevated, because the devil wants to bring you into a snare. and keep low, keep humble. This man was told to do something else. He was to go and show himself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. This man was to go to the temple, and there he was to offer certain things. Leviticus 14 tells us about those things that he was to offer in that Levitical ceremony. They were the cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet. And these were all used in the Levitical ceremony. And since lepers were never healed, they were never humanly healed in Bible times. And so these priests, these Levites, never, ever would have conducted this ceremony. This ceremony was testimony and proof to a complete and a whole cleansing and healing. And so this man would have come in, he would have been known to those around, and he would have come into the temple, and he would have said to them, look, I've been healed, and I'm here. I'm here to offer those things for my cleansing. And the Levites would have looked at one another, and they would have had to run to the law, and they had to look up and see, well, how do we perform this? This has never been done. And you know what the testimony would have been to them? Messiah has come. Christ has come. The healer is here. Jesus Christ had come. And he came to complete the work that the Father gave him to do. And I do not have time to go into it, but all those Levitical elements, that cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet, they're all symbolized and typified and fulfilled there at the cross of Jesus Christ. And he finished the work at the cross, crying, it is finished. But this man did not obey. You know, if you want something to spread, if you want something to get around the community, the best way to do it is to tell someone, not to tell others. Isn't that how it works? I'm telling you this, but don't tell anyone else. Don't keep this to yourself. And what does that person do? They find the next person and they go, look, I've been told not to tell, but you're the only one I'm going to tell. That's the way it works. And that's what happened in this case. This man, for whatever reason, and I'm sure he was motivated from a heart of gratitude, but he did not obey the master. And he began to publish it and blaze it all around about. He was disobedient. Seemed to be a very proper motive. Yet this disobedience caused Christ serious inconvenience. Lord Jesus Christ, we read, he could no longer go into the cities and the towns. He had to stay out in the deserts and wait for the people to come to him. And you know, there's many people today in the Church of Jesus Christ. You know what they say? They are motivated to fill their churches. That might be a very good and proper motive. But did the Savior command the means by which they're using? See, the end never justifies the means. And disobedience to the Lord and how He builds His church causes Him and His kingdom serious inconvenience. As God's children, we need to obey the command of the Lord. In November 1989, and some of you maybe remember, but Diana, Princess of Wales, in Indonesia, in a leprosy hospital, she reached forth her hand and she touched a young girl smitten with leprosy. And the world went mad. It made the cover of every newspaper. Here was royalty of England, of Great Britain, of the United Kingdom. And here she was touching lepers. Said she broke down barriers. She was lauded. She was praised. The young girl that she touched, she is recorded as saying, it was the most wonderful day of my life. And yet that young girl was not healed. Well, here tonight we have the account of the King of Kings, the one who is pure and holy, the one who is the creator of the ends of the earth, and he stretches forth his hand and he touches a leper and he makes him clean. And the same Lord tonight can touch you. I wonder, will you say to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I wonder, do you understand the defilement and the loathsomeness and the ugliness of your sin, and that you need cleansing, you need healing. And it only is found in Jesus Christ. May the Lord bring you to the Savior. For he is not only able, but he is willing. Willing to save you tonight. Let's bow in a word of prayer, please, before we have our closing hymn. Our Father and our God, we pray that thou would bless the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for a Savior who is divine. The one has power to cleanse us from our sin. And we thank thee for one who is willing. Willing, O God, to cleanse those who come. We pray tonight for those in the gathering that are in the defilement of their sin, that are smitten with the spiritual leprosy of sin. We pray, O God, that thou would be merciful to them. Show them they are the walking dead, that condemnation is upon them. But show them Jesus Christ, and that he is fully sufficient to save them. Bless us as we sing our closing hymn, for we pray this in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.